Amen. Praise the Lord for that special and all the specials that we have been blessed by today. I trust that you have already just sensed the presence of the Lord in this place, and you have been blessed. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 24. Luke in chapter 24. We're going to be reading verse 36 down to the end of the chapter, verse 53 this morning. Luke chapter 24, verse 36. And so if you're able to stand, if you'll stand with me, we'll read the word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Before we get into the reading of the word of God, realizing this is what God has preserved for us, the Bible. It's God's holy word. He's preserved it exactly the way that he wanted it preserved, so that we could receive from it what he has for us. And it's been God's chosen plan to work through the preaching of the word of God. And I trust this morning that all of us here realize the importance of receiving what God has for us. And if you would, just put everything else out of your minds and don't be distracted by anything else. And let's just ask God in here in just a minute after we read to just speak to us and receive what God has for you today. Thank you for coming and being a part of the services, and praise God for what we've already been blessed by. But there's nothing like the very words of God. Yeah. Reading them and then having that understanding be given to us, and then being able to apply those biblical truths to our lives. And so here in the book of Luke in chapter 24, verse 36. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the love that you have that's unmistakable for humanity. Thank you for this opportunity this morning that you have made available to all that are here to assemble ourselves together in your name. Thank you for what we've already received in being here. And now, Father, as we have read this passage of Scripture, I pray that you would help each and every one to have an open heart and mind to receive what you have for them through this Scripture. Pray that you would empower me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he addresses his disciples here in the passage that we've just read. And the message I want to preach to you this morning is what the resurrected Savior revealed to his disciples then and what he has recorded for us today. Some things that changed their lives, and I believe some things as you will believe them and receive them will have a good chance of changing our lives. The first thing that we look to in chapter 24 and verse 36 down to verse 42 is Jesus appears to them in a glorified body. Now listen to me, they had seen him crucified. They saw him die on Calvary's cross. They saw him being buried in the tomb. It had been 3 days now that he had been buried in that tomb. They were frightened, thinking that, and rightly so, because the Romans, once they would have killed somebody for leading a rebellion, then they would have hunted down all of those followers, and they would have taken them into custody and put them in prison, or possibly even crucified them. That was just the way of Roman law. And so his disciples were now in an upper room, and they were somewhat hiding out, afraid of what could happen to them. What happened to Jesus and being crucified, they had witnessed that, they had seen him die, and now they are fearful, thinking that they could be next. And while they were there, suddenly Jesus stood in the midst. Now in John's account, in John chapter 20, verse 19, it reveals it was the first day of the week in that evening. He resurrected early in the morning, and by the time that he ascended to heaven, now he's returned, and he's in a glorified body, and now it's in the evening, and Jesus now in his glorified body stands before them. John also reveals to us that the doors were shut, meaning that they did not unlock the door. Nobody opened the door for Jesus to come in. They were in there under lock and key and trying to hide themselves, and Jesus appears. The Bible says in verse 37 that they thought they had seen or looking at a ghost or a spirit, which as you study the Bible, you know that there's no such things as ghosts. He had and was revealing himself in a glorified body. He says to them in verse 39, handle me. You think you're seeing a ghost. You think you're seeing just a spirit. No, I'm telling you, I'm here in the very same physical sense with just a little changes here and there. But I'm here in this physical sense, and you can come up and you can see the scars in my hands. Yes, you've seen me crucified. You can see the scars in my feet. You saw them nail the nails through my feet. You can look in my side. You can come up and touch me. I am here. It's me. Come, handle me. That's the reality. That's what Jesus was presenting to them. Verse 41, the Bible says, and while they yet believed not for joy. They believed not, they had joy, but they still thought this is too good to be true. That's what it says there. When they believed not, this is too good to be true. We saw you die. We saw you crucified. We saw you buried in the tomb. And now physically, you're here, and we can see the scars, and we can touch you, and we can communicate with you. After we've seen you die, now we see you alive. That's too good to be true. But because it is true, there's joy in my heart. I'm excited about what's taking place. I'm rejoicing over the fact that you are here. Yeah. See, Jesus had walked through a closed door in a glorified body, which reveals to us that, like a sound wave, it's not limited to the physical restrictions that our bodies are limited to today. There's none of us that could walk through a closed door unless you're strong enough to tear the door off its hinges. But the door was not torn up. The truth that it is, the physical things could not hinder the glorified body of Jesus from walking right through them. And that had to happen. So now they're looking at this and they're seeing Jesus, but he's in a glorified body, and the body that he's in now was able to just walk right through the walls, physical doors, locks, like a sound wave. You know, you can be on the other side and you can hear sound. You can't see it, but you know it's something's taking place on the other side, and the sound is coming through those physical doors and those physical walls. So his physical body now, his glorified body, is walking through closed doors, and yet it was able to be touched by the disciples. Not only that, but in order to bring even more joy in what he was revealing to them, he said, "Do you have anything to eat?" His glorified body, even though it did not have to have it, but he was able to enjoy food. Now, what's he doing? Again, this is Jesus coming to the disciples after the resurrection, and the message he has given to them, and the very same message that he's given to us today, is that look at me, because I have a glorified body. And look what you're able to do in this glorified body. You're not restricted by the physical any longer. You can just walk through. You have a physical body in the sense that you can actually touch one another. And not only that, and for those that really enjoy eating, you can look forward to being able to eat in a glorified body. No calories, not have to worry about a calorie. And he ate. His spirit and his soul is now in a glorified body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is what Jesus revealing to them right after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. He meets with them in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul addresses this in his writings to the church at Corinth, and he says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become," look right here, "the first fruits of them that slept." He's become the first fruits. The first to ever have a glorified body. If you will, a prototype of things to come. That's what he's presenting to them. He's become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So Christ now, who died but has resurrected, and after the resurrection, now he is presenting to the disciples that it's real, that there is life after death, and not only that it is real, it's something that they can look forward to. As he resurrected, they will resurrect, but he's also presenting to them this glorified body that they too will be able to experience one day. 1 John chapter 3. Let me just read it to you, write it down. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Once you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we become the sons of God, the children of the Father. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. You might not understand what you're going to be like and how you're going to live in eternity. We know eternity is real. I'm here to present myself to you so that you can know that eternity is real. And you don't know exactly what it's going to be like, but I'm here to give you a little taste of it. He says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That's shouting. That really is. That's something that would impact them for the rest of their lives. And it's something that will impact us for the rest of our lives when you realize that there is much more than the life that we're living right now. This life is a temporal life, but we have to look forward to an eternal life. And we will not just be spirits just kind of flowing around the universe with nothing really to do and no purpose of life. It's just not that we're going to be spirits. The Bible says, and Jesus is presenting to them, not only can you believe now that everlasting life is real, there is life beyond the grave, but I'm here to show you a prototype of what you're going to receive. Amen. That's exactly what they're seeing, and that's exactly what he wants them to see. He wants them to see the reality of the fact that you're going to have, even though this physical body right now is going to die. But the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And as soon as you die, you go to be with the Lord in spirit. But one day, it's called the rapture of the church. When the rapture of the church takes place, then God is going to give everybody that was in Christ Jesus, Old Testament and New Testament, a new body. And it is designed for a new heaven and a new earth. It's designed by God to be similar, but to be quite different. Not limited by the physical any longer. Never going to have another pain. The older we get, the more we can say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah. There's no night. You don't have to worry about trying to go to sleep. And you don't have to worry about trying to wake up. There's no night. There's no physical sun, but there is total light. There's no ocean, amen. There's no need of the ocean. In this new heaven, in this new earth, that in itself is going to be amazing, and we cannot quite understand all of it. We just know because of Christ's resurrection from the grave that there is life after death, and he reveals that life after death. But more than that, he's revealing to them, this is what you have to look forward to because you will receive a glorified. Now, we'll all receive it at the same time. Now, those that have gone on to heaven before we have, our loved ones, praise the Lord for them, because we know to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. They're in the presence of God in spirit. But they're going to receive their glorified body the same time all of us will. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't give it to anybody else ahead of time. He said, no, you wait. I've got a plan and a purpose, and you'll all receive them at the same time. But you will receive it. If you're in Christ Jesus, if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, he's revealing himself to his disciples then, and it impacted their lives, and he's got it written down for us today so that it might impact our lives. Think about it. If you can truly have the faith to know that there is a better life beyond this life. What will that do for you? When you have the faith to believe when you lose a loved one to the grave, they're really not in a grave. What will that do for you? Well, you have the, not only when you have the faith to believe in this life after death, but when you have the faith to believe that we're going to know one another and we're going to be known as we were known and we will have a glorified body, that means we'll have perfect fellowship. We'll have perfect golf games. Hole in one, amen. Yeah. You might not meet that on your bucket list in this life, but in heaven, praise the Lord, it's there. And he ate. He ate in his glorified body. That's just enough there to just say, put a smile on your face. Amen. Supper's coming. Desserts, a whole nine yards. You have it all. Amen. It's coming. Praise the Lord for that. The reality made a difference for them then, and it will make a difference for us today. If we have the faith to believe in a real heaven and a real glorified body. He didn't stop there, though. He wanted them to know that. He said, hey, handle me. Yeah, this is what you have to look forward to. In verse 44 and verse 45, go back to our text here. There's more. He gave them exactly what they had need of to carry out the work that he called them to do. Verse 44 and verse 45, what had happened was the fulfillment of God's holy words. The fulfillment of Old Testament. That's all they had at that point. So this is going to impact us even more than it would have impacted them. Because not only does he reveal to them this was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, he goes in verse 44, he says, and he said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. He was telling them, he was helping them to understand the prophecies of Moses, the prophecies of the prophets, and the prophecies of the book of Psalms concerning the Messiah. They were fulfilled in Christ. Amen. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. It would impact them again, not only with the assurance of heaven, the assurance of a glorified body, now the assurance of there's a purpose in this life. And we have the words of God preserved to help us to know why we're here. And what it is that we're to accomplish. It would give them a purpose from that moment forward. Can I tell you that today, so many people, and the suicide rate today, especially among young people, are just continue to escalate. Because they don't have a purpose. They don't understand what God wants them to understand about the reality of heaven, about the reality of hell, and the purpose that God has for their lives. And they just end it thinking it's going to be the end of all things. And it's not. It's not. If we only could understand that God has a purpose for our existence. And can I tell you what God has given to us to help us to realize what that purpose is? The New Testament scriptures reveal it for all of us. It's been preserved by God. So that we might know the mind of Christ and the mind of God for this New Testament church age that we're living in. That's the New Testament. As God fulfilled everything that he had prophesied in the Old Testament, he will fulfill everything that is in the New Testament. And that gives us purpose. That gives us an understanding of why we should live the life of Christ, why we should understand what God has for us, and we have a person of Jesus Christ to look to follow after, and call him Lord. Jesus needs to be the Lord of our life. There's not a better life to live this side of heaven than a life that is pleasing to God. This following after the example of Jesus Christ. And God will illuminate the scriptures to anyone who diligently seeks and wants to know the will of God for their life. It's the Bible. He opened their understanding then, and he'll open our understanding now if we'll seek. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy in chapter 3. That's what the Bible says about that. I love what the psalmist wrote in Psalms 119 and verse 18. He says, "Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." God, I want to see. I want to see clearly what the plans are. What we find here is Paul wrote to Timothy under the inspiration of God. He says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto, first of all, salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And then he says, all scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Can I tell you, for every area of life, God has his word and it will apply to every area of life. And for the true church and the true preacher, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He's able to preach truth as long as he stays in the word of God and preaches the word. Yeah. What a difference that would make then, and what a difference that will make in our lives today. Back in our text, we're not done there. He had more for him. He had more for him. Verse 46 through 48. He revealed to them just what and who they were. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. This is why that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning right here at home in Jerusalem. And ye, those who have this understanding, are witnesses of these things. They would be given again this purpose of being a witness as they would live out the rest of their lives. Ye are witnesses. One who has information or knowledge of something. When you get saved, you have information and you have knowledge that most of the known world today doesn't have. When you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have knowledge and information that a lot of your family members won't have. You have knowledge and information that most of your coworkers will not have. You have knowledge and information, and you have been placed where you're placed by an almighty God who understands what's going on in your life so that you might be a witness to those who do not have the knowledge nor the understanding that you had to have in order to be saved. You can't be saved unless you know yourself to be lost and on your way to a devil's hell. You cannot be saved unless you believe in Jesus Christ. He paid your sin debt on Calvary's cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He paid your sin on Calvary's cross. And now he offered to you everlasting life and forgiveness of all your sins. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's information, that's knowledge that if you're saved that you have, that many others around you do not have. And now that you have it, what will you do with it? Yeah. Needs to be preached. Church today needs to be a place where we come to hear the word of God. You can be entertained a lot of different ways. You can be entertained on the golf course. You can be entertained playing basketball if you enjoy sports. You can be entertained by going down and hearing a musical. You can be entertained by a number of different ways. The church is not here to entertain. The church was established for this purpose. People will hear the truth. And when they hear the truth, they'll know that they need to repent of their sin and have their sins forgiven. And that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached. Because if there is no acknowledgement of sin, if there is no repentance, there is no forgiveness of sins. And if there is no forgiveness of sins, there is no heaven. No heaven. Because the only way to heaven, and the only way to have the glorified body that God has prepared for you is through Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts in chapter 17, let me just read it real quick to you here. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. In the time of this ignorance, God winked at. But now we have the revelation, we have the completion of the scriptures. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And he will. He will judge. Because he knew what he went through to offer you a free gift of everlasting life and something that you mocked at. If you didn't get saved, something that you turn your back on if you don't get saved. Yeah. No repentance, no remission, no heaven. We're not done. He had more for them. Verse 49. He tells them, this would change their life then, it'll change your life today. You say, I can't do that. I'm just not one that's going to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm not one that can witness. Listen to me. You have knowledge. You have information. The people around you need to hear that. It's all right if you can't do it. Let Christ do it through you. Because he says in verse 49, and behold. Behold, that means pay attention. Listen to this. I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. See, New Testament Christianity is when you get saved, you are endued with the power from on high. You have the Holy Spirit of God living and dwelling in you. He has sealed you until the day of redemption. The Bible reveals that. And so it is there. He is there to empower you to do whatever God has commanded you to do. You can say, I can't do that. No, you can't. I cannot live the Christian life on my own. I cannot accomplish what God has for me to accomplish on my own. But thank God, I don't have to. I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me who will empower me to do whatever God asked me to do. Every one of us do have that. If you're saved this morning, you have that. Not only do you have the hope of everlasting life, heaven's real. Not only do you have the hope of being able to go through walls and not have any limitations, you have a glorified body, amen. But you have the hope of the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you for the rest of your life on this planet Earth to enable you to do whatever, to get through anything, to get through whatever trial, to get through whatever discouragement, and to be the witness that God wants you to be through it all. Yeah. You've been empowered. One last thing. Verse 52. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. How do I continue this? They would center their work around the assembling of themselves together. God's work on earth has always been centered around the assembling of his people at the place that he established to meet with them. You will not do this unless you are continually assembling yourselves in the place that God has promised to meet with us to enable us and to encourage us to continue to be the witnesses that you have us to be. This New Testament church age, it's his church. Old Testament, it was the tabernacle in the wilderness. It was the temple in Israel. New Testament, it's the church that Jesus Christ established. That we are commanded to assemble ourselves together on the first day of the week. No better way to start out the week than in church. The first day of the week. Amen. Assembling ourselves together, not forsaking that assembly, but assembling ourselves together so that we might be able to worship him, that we might be able to be fed the word of God, we might be able to encourage one another, we might be able to hear the words of God that will strengthen us to go out into a lost and dying world and to be the witnesses that God has called us to be. After that, the Bible says these disciples turn the world upside down. And some 2,000 years later, the word of God is being preached, the gospel is being preached around the world. Yeah, it's real. It's real. It impacted their lives then. I trust you'll allow it to impact your life now. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. That's the truth of the resurrection of Christ. He met with his disciples to give them these things which would change their lives. We have assembled here together today to read and to study the very same words that if you allow it to, will change your life. It starts with salvation. If your eyes were to close in death today, are you 100% sure where you'd go? Where will you spend eternity? There is an eternity. There is an afterlife. There's a place of heaven. There's a place of hell. Can I tell you this morning, God loves you. He died for you. He wants you to receive that gift of everlasting life. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you can't go back to a time, a point in time when you asked him of your own free will to come into your heart to save your soul, you need to come to this altar today. Let somebody take a Bible and show you exactly what God says you must do to be saved. Don't leave here without salvation. Father, we bow before you. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for what you have given to us today in this service. Thank you for what you presented to your disciples after the resurrection. What a powerful, powerful truth that you revealed to them. And I pray that it would impact our lives as it did theirs even today. Bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.